in the week. So if you want in, you need to get in right now. 844-326-3663. That is the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone. 844-326-3663. The text line is open. 71307. 71307. Start your text with fan, F-A-N, fan, F-A-N, and you can read them on the show. You can also join us on our live stream, facebook.com/thefanupstate, twitter.com/thefanupstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, The Fan Upstate, or The Rob Brown Show on YouTube, or The Rob Brown Show on Twitch, all the different ways for you to get in touch with the show. Let's keep this conversation going for just a minute about the, again, you guys know that I do not go hard in the paint on stories that are based on hashtag sources. In fact, as some of you know, I have even gotten into headbutting competitions, metaphorically speaking, with coworkers of mine that have taken off and run with stories that are based around sources. I'm not a big fan of that. I'm not a big fan of that. All right. I don't like diving headfirst deep into conversations that are based around sources. Because, and this is true, it is something I have learned after 17 years in this industry. Sometimes people lie on the radio to get attention. I know. Shocking.
Dun, dun, dun.
I can just do that. No, that's not right. There it is. Sure, why not? What the hell is Friday? Who cares? Sometimes people lie on the radio to get attention. Sometimes people lie on the radio so that their name trends on Twitter. Sometimes people lie on the radio so that they get their name said on ESPN. Sometimes people lie on the radio, and I have more respect for all of you than that. Okay? All right? I have more respect than to make up a story to get people in a tizzy on the radio. But I will say that this to me is less about, are these stories actually happening, and more about asking, is there a viable, legitimate, realistic possibility here? And I think the answer is yes. Now it does. There is a hinge here. There is a hinge here that we have to talk about. And the hinge here is whether or not it is true that the Big Ten would not invite Clemson and Florida State, North Carolina, Miami, etc. Whether or not they would not invite those schools for whatever reason. It could be because they're not AAU accredited. That's I don't know how deadly serious the Big Ten is about that. It could be, and again, this one I fully acknowledge is a conspiracy theory. Not all conspiracy theories turn out to be bad, but a lot of them do. It is a conspiracy theory. Do you remember a story that we brought to you a couple of, about a week and a half ago? We brought you a story where Clemson had a request submitted to them from the ACC and ESPN. The submitted request sent to Clemson was to move their home game against South Carolina from Saturday to Friday night, to Black Friday night. And in a request to do this, it was said that Clemson would get some concessions from ESPN. And we're not going to go down the whole list, but ESPN was going to give Clemson a bunch of stuff in return for moving the South Carolina game from Saturday to Good Friday night. You will remember that despite the concessions, Clemson said, "You can kiss my to ESPN and the ACC." And as I pointed out at the time that this happened, of course they did. Like, of course they did. Of course they did, because genuinely, why would they why would they do that? Why would they willingly move a game that's a big money getter? Why would they willingly move a game from Saturday to Friday to benefit the entity, the ACC, that they are currently involved in lawsuits with? Why would they move the game from Saturday to Friday and make life tougher on their fans? Why would they move game from Saturday to Friday to benefit ESPN, an entity that, while you may or may not believe this, I do, an entity that, by and large, doesn't really care about the ACC, right? Or at least they do not care about the ACC as much as they care about the SEC. I think that's pretty obvious. Why would Clemson do that? So here is my question. My question is, if you are the Southeastern Conference, who pulls your strings right now? ESPN. That's your television revenue. And television revenue is the number one thing in college football right now, just like the NFL. Nothing matters except television revenue. Everything else is secondary. Corporate money, secondary to television revenue. School revenue, secondary to ESPN revenue or Fox revenue if you're the Big Ten. Nothing else matters. So if these schools have basically said, yo, the ESPN folks and the Fox Sports folks can go themselves, which Clemson did. Conspiracy theory says it would make sense that the ESPN folks would then tell the SEC folks, yeah, you're not bringing them here. They won't work with us. They're openly hostile to us. They are fighting us. We're not bringing them into the fold. And if the Big Ten doesn't want them because they're not AAU accredited, and the Southeastern Conference doesn't want them for whatever reason they may not want them, there's nowhere else to go for this school except the Big 12, who has now got not just the TV revenue. It's not great TV revenue. It's not TV revenue like ESPN's providing the SEC. It's not TV revenue like Fox Sports is providing the Big Ten. But it is still double the revenue that the ACC is providing to this school. If that's the only landing spot they've got, then it makes sense that they would go there. I'm not saying that is what is happening. I'm not saying that is what is going to happen. I'm not even saying that right now that's in the cards. What I'm saying is this whole scenario, speculative or not, it makes sense in a makes me kind of uncomfortable kind of way. This whole scenario makes sense as a, let me double bold, emphasize, underline, italicize, as a hypothetical. It makes sense that these two schools could theoretically end up in the Big 12, not the Big 10, and not the SEC.
We know money talks anywhere. And yes, it's not as much as Big Brother SEC and Big Brother Big Ten have, but money's going to talk. And, you know, ACC, they're not bending and they're not folding on this grant of rights. But if Clemson and Florida State figure out, and they say they have a way to get around it, if they figure out how to get out of this grant of rights, I think the Big 12 is knocking, and it's coming, and it's coming fast.
So it's yes, money talks. Like that's I say this lovingly. Yeah, like that's the truest thing ever. That's the most obvious thing ever, right? Like, and this is what I've been, and a lot of people have disliked me for this in the past, and that's okay. College football special. I've never once argued that college football isn't special. It's a very special sport, and certainly in our region of the country, it's a very special sport. It's a very important sport to all of us. However, it is special for a lot of reasons. It is not unique. It is not unique. I think the whole conference, this is why the whole, when the NIL thing started, this is why I got driven batty by y'all. Because it was, oh, it's never been about the money. It's only ever been about the money. That's all it's ever been about is the money. It's just that in order to not give that money to another entity, the players in this case, the wag the dog moments from those in power in college football, they always said to you it's not about the money. Because if they can convince you it's not about the money, that when players come and they go, we would like some of the money, you don't mind taking the moral high horse and looking at the players and going, it's not about the money. It's only ever about the money. If people who have millions and billions of dollars tell you it's not about the money,
they're lying to you.
It's all it is about, right? And that means that for conferences, it is true. For teams at school, for schools, it's true. For players, it's true. For coaches, it's true. Why do you think coaches are watching their salaries go up more and more all the time? Because they're doing it for money. Do you think the conference, has there ever been a conference president who took over a Power 5 conference and said, I'll do it for free because it's not about the money. It's about the passion and love for college football. No, they make millions of dollars. It's about the money. It's always been about the money. So, if the Big Ten, because while it is about the money, the Big Ten's got a lot. And the Big Ten feels like there is some level of, I'm not saying this is true. I'm saying this is the smoke on the breeze right now. And it is worth the conversation, even if it turns out to be not true. This is not a sources are making up, this is what is happening. This is a, here's part of the narrative overall. The Big Ten has made it clear that they want AAU accredited universities. They want the highest level academic institutions. Somebody a few minutes ago said, Rob, Nebraska's not. Yes, Nebraska was AAU accredited when they joined the Big Ten. They've lost it, but they were accredited. The schools in question from the ACC, the public schools in question in the ACC that are up for grabs. If they're AAU accredited, they'll be considered. If they're not, they won't. That's what's floating on the breeze right now. Florida State and Clemson are not. So if this truly is, if that is truly a deal breaker for the Big Ten, they're out. Which also means that the SEC doesn't really need to compete for these schools. If they want them, they can take them. If they don't, they don't. But FSU and its fans right now have been telling the SEC where they can stick it since they got screwed out of the play, since they were not selected to play in the playoffs last year. Clemson, like I said, Do you think South Carolina wants Clemson in the SEC? Do you think Georgia, right? Everybody's focused on South Carolina. Y'all, Athens is what? An hour and a half away from Clemson? You think Georgia wants Clemson in the ACC? Do you think Georgia wants Clemson to have SEC money to put into its recruiting in their backyard? No, of course not. And you add all of that onto the fact that not but a week and a half ago, the big money makers, the big money makers for the SEC, that is ESPN, They came to Clemson and they said, hello, we would like you to do us a solid. We'd like you to do us a fave. Do you mind? And Clemson said, yeah. Yeah, no. Nah. I'll tell you exactly where you can stick that request, ESPN and ACC. Now, again, sometimes you got to shake a hand with somebody who screwed you over because it's in your financial or emotional or whatever best interest. But this was a week and a half ago. This was a week and a half ago. So if ESPN knows the Big Ten's not taking Clemson or Florida State, and Florida State's out here disparaging ESPN, and Clemson's out here telling ESPN where they can shove it because they're not doing them any favors right now, whether or not it's to get at the ACC, and those two conferences both realize the other doesn't want the school, and they don't think they're going to add all that much value. And that's been the discussion. Like, right, what value do these schools add to which of these two power conferences? If these two schools, if these two conferences say, we don't want these two schools, and these two schools must leave the ACC, there is only one more option. It is the Big 12. Because the Big 12 pays a lot more money than the ACC will. And if the Big 12 is willing to pay that much more money than the ACC, it is definitely the only landing spot. Texter said the Big 12 is the all cupcakes conference reincarnated. I don't disagree. You know what the Big 12 becomes? The Big 12 becomes meet quality with quantity, right? Like, we can't keep up with the top of the SEC or the top of the Big 10, but we can damn sure provide a lot of good teams into the mix, right? The SEC and the Big 10 are always going to have their top three, maybe four teams get into the 12-team playoff. Eventual 16-team playoff. It's going to happen. Prepare yourselves. They're always going to get their top three or four, maybe five teams in. So how does the Big 12 counter that? Get like 24 teams up in this bia-bia, and let's just hope that by having 24 teams, we end up with four that are good enough to go to the college football playoff. And that's how we'll compete. And you got a real good shot at that if you get a Florida State in the mix, you get a Clemson in the mix, you get a Miami in the mix, you get a North Carolina in the mix, and you double their recruiting budget, which is what would happen. You do all that, now you got a chance of competing with the SEC's quality and the Big Ten's quality with Big 12 quantity. And I think that might be the strategy from the soon-to-be Geico 12. All right, let's run to a break. When we come back here in just a minute, we do have a bit of an update. We do have a bit of an update regarding the Clemson v. ACC lawsuit that we talked about with John Blau back on Monday. We do have a bit of conversation about that. I will tell you what it is when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. So we do have a update. The ACC put a point on the board in their set of lawsuits against the against Clemson. We, of course, had Clemson file a lawsuit in Pickens County. We then had a countersuit by the ACC in Mecklenburg County in North Carolina. Broke yesterday that North Carolina Chief Business Court Judge Louis A. Bledsoe III denied Clemson's motion to stay and rejected in part its motion to dismiss the conference's countersuit. His decision came after a hearing between both parties on July 2nd at the Mecklenburg County Courthouse in Charlotte. According to the Greenville News, this article posted by Darian Carter, who I will hopefully have on the show for us next week to give his thoughts. Bledsoe's denial of Clemson's motion to stay, a stay is a ruling by the court to stop or suspend a proceeding or trial temporarily or indefinitely, means the ACC's lawsuit against Clemson in North Carolina will proceed. He also ruled the arguments over who owns Clemson's TV rights if it leaves the conference and the penalty for withdrawal from the ACC will proceed in litigation. Bledsoe rejected Clemson's motion to dismiss on sovereign immunity grounds, writing Clemson waived that by engaging in commercial activities rather than governmental activities in North Carolina. Bledsoe wrote in his decision, quote, "The only court that has jurisdiction over FSU, Clemson, and the ACC, and thus the only court that can assure a consistent, uniform interpretation of the grant of rights agreements and the ACC's constitution and bylaws, the determinations at the core of the pending actions, is a North Carolina court." Bledsoe cited conflicting conclusions in different courts would create a, quote, procedural chaos and tremendous confusion, end quote. The writ also says only a North Carolina court, most likely in a single consolidated action in North Carolina, can render consistent, uniform determinations binding the ACC, FSU, and Clemson concerning the documents that are at issue in all four pending actions. The four being, of course, Florida State's lawsuit against the ACC in Leon County, Clemson's lawsuit against the ACC in Pickens County, the ACC's lawsuit against Florida State in Mecklenburg County, North Carolina, and the ACC's lawsuit against Clemson in Mecklenburg, North Carolina. Now, what does this mean? As we spoke with John Blau about back on Monday, this basically gives the ACC home court advantage. Now, John Blau said he doesn't know how much that means. John Blau said that in his conversations with multiple business law experts, I think is what I'll go with here. In his conversation with multiple business law experts, he said most of them said there's not really a home court advantage when it comes to a legal suit like this. I'm going to be straight up, and this may shock you because I am a dumb person. I don't know if I believe that or not. And I don't know if I believe that in part because of the statement that I just read to you from Judge Bledsoe. That statement being, you know, only a North Carolina court can do this. See, I don't know why that would be. All right. And again, I'm a big dummy. If there are any business lawyers out there listening to the show right now, I would love to have you on the show. I'd love to have you call in and let us know. I don't know how that's the case because to me, a legal contract, whether it is signed in Mecklenburg, North Carolina, Tallahassee, Florida, Clemson, South Carolina, Athens, Georgia, Eugene, Oregon, or Honolulu, Hawaii. A business deal can be scrutinized anywhere, can it not? A business suit, you would think, and again, I'm an idiot, all right? But a business lawsuit, I would think, you would hear it anywhere, right? You would be able to hear it anywhere. An agreement signed over here in contractual law should theoretically be able to hold up wherever you read it. A judge in Tallahassee should be able to read the same contract as a judge in North Carolina, as the same contract as a judge in Clemson, South Carolina, and all three should be able to say. Now, there are obviously different regulations regarding state laws in each. But this is a contract that was signed with interstate intention. This is a contract that was signed by every party knowing that business decisions made involving and under the terms of these contracts were going to be signed across multiple states and therefore fall under interstate commerce legality. I don't know how that impacts it. So I don't know what this means. The ACC put out a statement that said, quote, "We are pleased with today's ruling as it confirms that only a North Carolina court can render a decision that would apply to both Clemson and Florida State. The opinion also reinforces what the ACC has clearly articulated from day one. The North Carolina courts are the proper place to enforce and interpret the ACC's arguments." Again, sure. I mean, of course, that's going to be the ACC's position, right? Like, that statement doesn't hold any weight to me, just like it would not hold any weight to me if Clemson and or Florida State put out statements that said, "We disagree with this." Of course you do. You want home field advantage. I just don't know what home field advantage there is to join or to add to this conversation. I don't know. Now, there are more court battles taking place. Clemson and the ACC have a hearing set for today at the Pickens County Courthouse. Judge Perry H. Gravely will rule on the... Why are all these judges... Like, these judges have just such formal names. You never hear, like, Judge Joe Smith. Perry H. Gravely.
It's the sign of times right there.
I mean, it's just so, like... I read a name like Judge Perry H. Gravely, and I assume my man's coming out in like a powdered wig, you know? Anyway, he will hear that today. That legal battle started back on March 19th after the university filed its initial complaint against the conference in Pickens County. This next round of decisions is going to be interesting because now you've got a North Carolina judge that says, yeah, only a North Carolina court can hear this. It was signed in North Carolina. The parent entity of the contract is a company based in North Carolina. That's the ACC. But what if Judge Perry H. Gravely looks at this and his verdict is, yeah, I mean, it's a business contract. You can read a business contract anywhere, right? Like, it doesn't suddenly Harry Potter Marauder's map disappear when it crosses into another state. Right? Gandalf didn't enchant this thing to only be readable by people who are born in North Carolina. I don't know. What I do know is this thing's going to get very ugly. Clemson is, as is Florida State, making the argument that the ACC did not try to maximize profit in order to make sure that the ACC was able to keep up with other conferences as conference expansion ends up continuing, and the ACC is going to argue, doesn't matter whether we did or didn't. You signed it. You signed it in 2016. So what's going to happen here is that we've got a little bit of an Ursula Ariel kind of situation going in that the ACC is going, it says right here, should you not receive true love's first kiss after 3 days, you know, you're in my service forever. And Triton's going, wait a minute, this is a really dumb Disney reference. Triton's going, yeah, but like she didn't know what she was signing. She's a dumb teenager. She's an idiot. You don't get to do that. And Ursula's going, I'm sorry. There's the line. There's her ex. There's her signature. Is it not? And everybody's going, yeah, but again, dumb teenager made assumptions that you were doing this in good faith. And Ursula's going, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how you think I did it. Doesn't matter if you think it was in good faith, bad faith. We gave you the contract. You had the opportunity to read it, agree to it, sign it. You signed it. Deal with it. And here we are. And there's a judge in Tallahassee. There's a judge in Pickens County. And there's a judge in Mecklenburg County that are all looking at this thing and going to decide whether or not this is even a battle to be heard in a court, and if it is, which court it should be heard in front of. 42 days until we play football. For God's sakes, can we just play football?
I feel like it's Clemson and Florida State saying, teacher, he won't let me. That's what it feels like.
No, it's more than that. I mean, I get it, but it's more than that. Basically, here's what Clemson's saying. And this is my understanding. And again, I am a dumb person, okay? So take what I say with a grain of salt. Basically, what Florida State started and what Clemson is agreeing with here is that when the ACC was preparing this media rights deal, they didn't maximize profitability. And because they didn't maximize profitability, Clemson and Florida State have the right to say, look, it's a long-term contract and we agreed to it. But now that we've agreed to it, a handful of years later, we recognize that we agreed to a contract with an entity that is not operating in a way consistent with trying to grow the profits, because they didn't sign a contract for X amount of dollars. They signed a contract, their media rights contract, for percentages of dollars with the assumption, and I think a fair one, that the ACC would do everything within their power to make sure that that number they get a percent of is as high as possible. This is why, and we talked about this, when the media rights agreement was signed, it was, if I recall the story correctly, and we've talked about it a bunch of times on the air, I think it was John Swofford's kid, the old commissioner, who was working for a small TV network that picked up third-tier rights, like track and field rights, but media rights nonetheless, that picked up some ACC competition rights for a pittance. That's a good word. I should use that more. For a pittance. And then that commish's son, working for that network, was suddenly promoted to like vice president, and he got the corner office, and he got the company Beamer, and you know, the Visa Black Card or whatever. Like he got all these concessions, all these promotions for getting that ACC media rights contract. Which, while it's not valuable in the grand scheme of things to that little company, it was immensely valuable. Now they get to put live college sports on the air. And that's a growing spot for them. And so Clemson and Florida State are basically going, yeah, but did, like, was that the most you could have gotten for that? Right? Was that the highest contract? We're arguing that the ACC did not search out the highest profit that they could have gotten for these rights. And because they didn't search out the highest profit that they could have gotten for these rights, that means we're not getting the amount of money that we could if they did. And because of that, we went out. And that's the argument on the books. The argument on the books is the ACC is not working to get us the most amount of money possible, and therefore we should have the right to break our agreement because we all work under good faith that that was going to be what the ACC did. But we feel like we can go in front of a court, we can go in front of a judge, and we can make a good, sound, legal argument that while they are not technically violating the contract, the good faith understanding that they would be working to maximize the contract, that's what's being violated, and that justifies us being able to get out and keep our media rights before 2036. Or 2036. And the ACC's going, nah, dog, you signed the contract. That's what it is. And so Florida State and Clemson want to argue in front of judges in their own county, right? Both because there's home court advantage, but also because, obviously, now they don't have to send lawyers and put them up in hotels for weeks at a time in Mecklenburg County. Now, like, it's cost-efficient, etc. Does it matter? Is it going to change anything? IDK. No idea. So we'll keep an eye on this. But that is the most recent development. That's the most recent thing that we know. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. Got a few more things that I want to get to on the show today. And I want your thoughts, too. 844-326-3663. That's the Renewal by Intercent of the Carolinas fan phone. Text us 71307 on the text line. Start your text with fan. Are there any thoughts that you guys have? Here's the other thing. To me, this is a massively important story. And there's like no public interest in it at all. Nobody cares. It's wild to me. Because this is a law. This is a set of lawsuits that will dictate the future of Clemson football, of Florida State football, of ACC's existence. And it's like such a convoluted story that it feels to me like nobody really gives a crap about it. I don't know. It's wild. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. Joey B pops into the chat. Joey B, he does work in this realm. A lot of dork references on the show. A lot of Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings references today.
This realm, what is he, Middle Earth?
Yeah, right. He says, good faith is an incredibly hard argument to win because you're trying to gauge someone's intent. You need something like an email from the ACC saying, I know we could get more, but I don't care. Yeah, I you would know more about this than me. I defer to Joey B in this conversation. I would, however, argue, I think there's another option on the table. I could be wrong here. This is probably how I would approach it. I think that I would probably approach it this way. Could I take, for instance, the contract that was signed with the commish's kid who then got the big promotion at the network? Could I go find comparable contracts for other conferences that are worth more, right? Could I go look at the Big Ten? Is there, and again, I don't even know if this is out there, right? Because I will say this. We know the numbers, but I don't know the breakdowns of the different contracts specifically between, say, the Big Ten and Fox or the SEC and ESPN. We kind of know the values, but and maybe this is a failure of me as a host. I don't know. But I also have a real hard problem reading legalese. Could you go find a contract for similar sports carried by the other conferences and bring that up in the court and go, all right, listen, the Big Ten's making, and I'm just making up numbers here, the Big Ten for their track and field rights are making $1 million a year, and the ACC signed a contract for $500,000 a year. And make the argument that while maybe the valuation of your conference overall isn't as much as the Big Ten's or the SEC's, that the valuation of that particular aspect of your athletics departments are. I don't know. Again, this is why this is going to be such an interesting process for me. Because I think there are going to have to be some very creative arguments from Florida State and Clemson. I think that the judges are going to, like, the business philosophy of individual judge. This is one of the other reasons that Clemson and Florida State are likely pushing for these cases to be heard in their counties, not in North Carolina's. Because they're going to have a better idea and the ability to do, likely, more extensive research into the judges that are likely to hear these cases. And know, all right, Judge Joe Johnson over here, a judge with a normal name that doesn't require a thick British accent to say it. Judge Joe Johnson over here, he's got a little bit more loose interpretation of what intent is, or more importantly, how to prove intent. And we know that. Whereas Judge Percy H. Graves III in Mecklenburg County, he's a little more strict, right? He's a little bit more letter of the law. He's a little bit more by the book. He's a little bit more direct in regard to what contracts mean, what contracts say, et cetera, et cetera. And so we want it in front of our guy. We want it in front of a guy that we know is going to be a little bit more friendly to a Florida business or a South Carolina business than a North Carolina guy is about a North Carolina business. So I don't know. I'll tell you this. As a big fan of every legal show that's ever been on TV, give me all the William Shatner Boston legal shows. Your Honor, I would argue that the rights of the ACC are just as valuable when it comes to track and field as the SEC. But give me all of that. I will be following these court cases with inappropriate levels of enthusiasm. With inappropriate levels of enthusiasm. But I think it's important to do so. I think it's important to do so. Because, as I have pointed out, the future of your school's athletic department hangs on the rulings of whatever judges this case ends up in front of. The future of the ACC depends on whatever judge or judges these lawsuits end up in front of. The future of your athletic, because here's the thing. If Florida State and Clemson end up in front of a judge, if Florida State and Clemson end up in front of a judge that says, yeah, no, you're screwed. You're in the ACC until 2036. There's no way out. Then either your school is going to have to take a ridiculous amount of its budget to pay to get out of the ACC. And oh, by the way, even if you do that, there's still a possibility that the ACC owns your media rights anyway till 2036, which kind of defeats the purpose of getting out at that point. Actually, it makes it where there would be no purpose to getting out at that point. Or you're going to be stuck in the ACC until 2036. And here's the thing. The ACC's value, if Clemson and Florida State and North Carolina and Miami will stay in it, will still continue to rise. But guess what? The ESPN's contract with the SEC, Fox's contract with the Big Ten, they will continue to rise too. And so while Clemson is sitting there making more money from the ACC from 2025 until 2036, they will be losing money, relatively speaking, to South Carolina, to Georgia. Florida State will be losing money, relatively speaking, to Florida, to Alabama, to Auburn, to LSU, to Georgia as well. And so, you know, there's the old expression in business. If you ain't moving forward, you're moving backwards, right? My dad used to say that to me all the time. If you ain't moving forward, you're moving backwards. That's possibly 11 years that Clemson is moving backwards while all of their rivals, both actual and geographical, are all moving forwards. Do you think they're going to take it easy? No. No. So this is, it is something that I do not think is garnering a lot of interest from fans. I don't think fans care, but I say this and I say it respectfully. I don't think a lot of fans really understand how big these court cases are. I don't think fans really understand how important these are. Because if Clemson and Florida State can't find a way to win this and they are stuck in the ACC through 2036, you're going to lose tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars into your coffers over that time. You're going to also lose tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, respectively, to your rivals, to the schools that you're competing against both on the field and on the recruiting trail. That's why this is important. All right, I'm going to put all of that away because, like I said, I don't think there's as much reaction to this as there should be. So when we come back, let's talk sports. We'll talk about Deion Sanders and Colorado football because I'm really intrigued by some of the comments he made at Big 12 Media Days. We'll talk a little NFL football. I'll give you some of my surprise teams this year, teams I think will overperform. All that more coming up in the fourth hour of the show. Before we get there, let's do a sports flash. The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. Joey B pops into the chat. Joey B, he does work in this realm. A lot of dork references on the show. A lot of Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings references today.
This realm, was he Middle Earth?
Yeah, right. He says, good faith is an incredibly hard argument to win because you're trying to gauge someone's intent. You need something like an email from the ACC saying, I know we could get more, but I don't care. Yeah, I again, you would know more about this than me. I defer to Joey B in this conversation. I would, however, argue, I think there's another option on the table. I could be wrong here. This is probably how I would approach it. I think that I would probably approach it this way. Could I take, for instance, the contract that was signed with the commish's kid who then got the big promotion at the network? Could I go find comparable contracts for other conferences that are worth more, right? Could I go look at the Big Ten? Is there, and again, I don't even know if this is out there, right? Because I will say this. We know the numbers, but I don't know the breakdowns of the, I don't know the breakdowns of the different contracts specifically between, say, the Big Ten and Fox or the SEC and ESPN. We kind of know the values, but, and maybe this is a failure of me as a host, I don't know. But I also have a real hard problem reading legalese. Could you go find a contract for similar sports carried by the other conferences and bring that up in the court and go, all right, listen, the Big Ten's making, and I'm just making up numbers here, the Big Ten for their track and field rights are making $1 million a year, and the ACC signed a contract for $500,000 a year. And make the argument that while maybe the valuation of your conference overall isn't as much as the Big Ten's or the SEC's, that the valuation of that particular aspect of your athletics departments are. I don't know. Again, this is why this is going to be such an interesting process for me. Because I think there are going to have to be some very creative arguments from Florida State and Clemson. I think that the judges are going to, like, and the business philosophy of individual judge. This is one of the other reasons that Clemson and Florida State are likely pushing for these cases to be heard in their counties, not in North Carolina's. Because they're going to have a better idea and the ability to do, likely, more extensive research into the judges that are likely to hear these cases and know, all right, this judge, you know, this judge over here, Judge Joe Johnson over here, a judge with a normal name that doesn't require a thick British accent to say it. Judge Joe Johnson over here, he's got a little bit more loose interpretation of what intent is, or more importantly, how to prove intent. And we know that. Whereas Judge Percy H. Graves III in Mecklenburg County, he's a little more strict, right? He's a little bit more letter of the law. He's a little bit more by the book. He's a little bit more direct in regard to what contracts, you know, what contracts mean, what contracts say, et cetera, et cetera. And so we want it in front of our guy. We want it in front of a guy that we know is going to be a little bit more friendly to a Florida business or a South Carolina business than a North Carolina guy is about a North Carolina business. So I don't know. I'll tell you this. As a big fan of every legal show that's ever been on TV, give me all the William Shatner Boston legal shows. Your Honor, I would argue that the rights of the ACC are just as valuable when it comes to track and field as the SEC. But give me all of that. I will be following these court cases with inappropriate levels of enthusiasm. With inappropriate levels of enthusiasm. But I think it's important to do so. I think it's important to do so. Because, as I have pointed out, the future of your school's athletic department hangs on the rulings of whatever judges this case ends up in front of. The future of the ACC depends on whatever judge or judges these lawsuits end up in front of. The future of your athletic, because here's the thing. If Florida State and Clemson end up in front of a judge, if Florida State and Clemson end up in front of a judge that says, yeah, no, you're screwed. You're in the ACC until 2036. There's no way out. Then either your school is going to have to take a ridiculous amount of its budget to pay to get out of the ACC. And oh, by the way, even if you do that, there's still a possibility that the ACC owns your media rights anyway till 2036, which kind of defeats the purpose of getting out at that point. Actually, it makes it where there would be no purpose to getting out at that point. Or you're going to be stuck in the ACC until 2036. And here's the thing. The ACC's value, if Clemson and Florida State and North Carolina and Miami will stay in it, will still continue to rise. But guess what? The ESPN's contract with the SEC, Fox's contract with the Big Ten, they will continue to rise too. And so while Clemson is sitting there making more money from the ACC from 2025 until 2036, they will be losing money, relatively speaking, to South Carolina, to Georgia. Florida State will be losing money, relatively speaking, to Florida, to Alabama, to Auburn, to LSU, to Georgia as well. And so, you know, there's the old expression in business. If you ain't moving forward, you're moving backwards, right? My dad used to say that to me all the time. If you ain't moving forward, you're moving backwards. That's possibly 11 years that Clemson is moving backwards while all of their rivals, both actual and geographical, are all moving forwards. Do you think they're going to take it easy? No. No. So this is, it is something that I do not think is garnering a lot of interest from fans. I don't think fans care, but I say this and I say it respectfully. I don't think a lot of fans really understand how big these court cases are. I don't think fans really understand how important these are. Because if Clemson and Florida State can't find a way to win this and they are stuck in the ACC through 2036, you're going to lose tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars into your coffers over that time. You're going to also lose tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, respectively, to your rivals, to the schools that you're competing against both on the field and on the recruiting trail. That's why this is important. All right, I'm going to put all of that away because, like I said, I don't think there's as much reaction to this as there should be. So when we come back, let's talk sports. We'll talk about Deion Sanders and Colorado football because I'm really intrigued by some of the comments he made at Big 12 Media Days. We'll talk a little NFL football. I'll give you some of my surprise teams this year, teams I think will overperform. All that more coming up in the fourth hour of the show. Before we get there, let's do a sports flash.